It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Kostin feeds to the right, Zetterlund shoots in deep again. Kostin's chasing it, trying to get it, falling down in the collision. Cunnin worked it free, centered out in front. It's off the stick of Zetterlund. He gets it back. He shoots. It's blocked in front. 15 seconds to go. Cleared out. Empty net to our left. Fed forward by Schwartz. McCann. Stick handles. Poked at it. Score.
Now he does, yeah.
Off the post. Came back to him and he scored. And so it is 4-2. Seattle. And for Jared McCann, that is his 28th goal of the season. And it goes into the empty net.
We've, there's a pattern now going on where we've gone off to bad starts here the last three games, and we've done do a better job being ready to go at the drop of the puck. You don't have much of a chance in this league when you're only playing 40 minutes. And I know we've touched on this the last two games. At least we've came back and found our game for the last two periods. But, you know, disappointing when we're ready to go at the drop of the puck. Right from the get-go, make a blind pass in the O zone and then just, give up an easy goal to start the game. And never really recovered much after that in the period. I thought the end of the period was a little bit better. Power play obviously was opportunistic, but just weren't able to stop the bleeding during the period. But, liked our second, and I thought our third was okay. I thought they had more of the better play in the third, but, it's tough to win a hockey game when you're only really playing for 40 minutes.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Tuesday morning, the 2nd of April, the San Jose Sharks unable to get it done against Seattle last night. Overall, I did not hate the efforts. I thought the Mackenzie Blackwood in particular was masterful. I loved everything that he brought to the game. He made huge save after huge save, and the Sharks got themselves in an early hole, and to me, that's one of the reasons why this game got away. And I think there are a couple things going on with the San Jose Sharks of why they're having this trouble lately with the slow starts, and then also the slow starts to periods, because they've given up goals early in periods. If you look at the overtime period against Chicago, that was, 14, 16, 18 seconds into it. You go to the game against Dallas. They gave up an early second period goal. You go to the game against the Wild. They gave up an early third period goal. You go back to the game against Tampa, I believe, and they gave up a goal about 30 seconds into that one. And to me, that means there's a couple things going on. And I think that the poor starts to games overall as of late, where they're slow out of the gate, it's a correlation causation thing going on right now with that aspect of it, where it's like, I don't think that they're unready to play. I don't think that one is causing the other, but I do think that there is a lack of mental focus going on maybe at the start of periods that the Sharks need to work on to make themselves a better team, that they need to make sure that when they enter a game that they are mentally ready to go. They need to use that warm-up period to get ready for hockey before the game and not just be warm to play. You need to make sure that your mental acuity is right there. You need to make sure that you're moving at game speed. Like, that to me needs to be focused on just more of that mental acuity before the game and make sure you're ready for the game in terms of the first period. And I think they also need to make sure that they're engaged and ready to go at the start of the subsequent second, third, and occasionally overtime periods. Now, beyond that, I always go back to what David Quinn says over the course of the year, because I think that Quinn, oftentimes when he's maybe a little bit, not short, because he's not, he'll sometimes give not long answers, but I think that there's a lot of truth in what he says. And one of the things that he's consistently fallen back to is that losing wears on you, it weighs on you, it drains you. And it's not just the fact that you are losing in and of itself. It's the fact that game after game, night after night, week after week, month after month, the losing piles up and it makes it that much more difficult to perform at your best. Because I think that there is not necessarily a defeatist mentality that comes into play, but there is the sense that you are, you know, pushing that boulder up the mountain and it's just going to come crashing down again, because we've seen the Sharks have some spectacular losses this year. And I'm not saying that to be, an antagonist or try and be an instigator. I'm saying that that's in the back of their mind, and the close losses and the tight losses and the blowout losses and the overwhelming amount of losing that they've done as of late, especially since the All-Star break where they've only won three games. I mean, that's three games since the start of February where they've won. The rest have been losses. That's a lot to deal with. You know, when they played that game at the end of January, including that two-week break for the All-Star break, that was the 31st of January. It was game 51. So since the middle of February, they have played 23 games and they've lost all but three of them. That's roughly a 13% winning percentage, which isn't much higher than 10%. So you're winning slightly more than one out of every 10 games from that point. They beat Calgary on the 15th of February. Then they lost nine in a row before they beat Ottawa on March 9th. And then they lost nine games before they eventually beat the Blues by a final of 4-0 last Saturday. And then we turn the page from March, where they go into the month of April. They're at home against not a great team, and you carry the weight of all that losing, even if you are coming in with a win on Saturday night, but you carry the weight of all that losing. You immediately give up the early goal just, 20 seconds or so into the game, and you're down 1-0 early on, and you're chasing a game at home, and you carry the weight of all those losses that came previously right there on your shoulder. But the big thing to me is getting down 1-0 30 seconds or so, or not even 30 seconds into the game. At that point, you're chasing a game, then you get down 2-0, and there was an overturned goal in there, which was nice, and credit to the Sharks video review staff for being right all over that and getting it overturned. So instead of being down by a greater number of goals, when the period is all said and done, you're down 3-1, could have been 4-1 if you don't catch that one. But at the same time, that just to me shows that the Sharks were not ready out of the gate. And David Quinn talked about it coming in. It's hard to win a game of hockey if you're only playing for 40 minutes. Now, obviously, that is a little bit hyperbolic because they were out there for 60 minutes, but they did not come out with enough fire. They did not come out with enough verve. They did not come out with the mental acuity and the readiness to win that game. And I think, again, that's because of the weight of the season that they are carrying with them. And then beyond that, if you give up the early goal, then you need to be able to stop the bleeding. If you give up an early goal, which is going to happen over the course of a season to any team, an early period goal, it will happen. It'll happen to every team continually, from the best of teams in the NHL to the worst teams in the NHL, but it doesn't happen consistently. And it also needs to be that the cauterization right there, like stop the bleeding, make sure that you don't give up any more goals. Make sure this game does not get away from you. And instead, the Sharks go down 2-0, which, at home on your own ice, that's not going to be easy, because I believe last night was the 20th time this year the Sharks have scored two goals, and they did not have enough pushback to get themselves back into it in that first period. When you are down 3-1 at the end of the first period, that to me is thorough domination. Credit to Fabian Zetterlund, as he ferociously snapped one home in that first period for his 21st of the year to find the back of the net. And that was a nice Lund brother connection. Zetterlund with the goal and Granlund and Eklund with the two assists. But, that was not going to be enough, you felt at that point. And then, you make it 2-1. Okay, then if you get it 2-1, then at that point, it feels like you've got to stop the bleeding once again. But before the period was done, Shane Wright, who had just been called up from the AHL, he gets another one and makes it 3-1. Again, you're looking at too much of a deficit early on to overcome. And not that it cannot be overcome, because the Sharks have had some wild comeback wins, and that's in their DNA. It's possible, but you cannot be reliant on that. You cannot have that be a consistent part of your game where you're digging yourself a hole at home, on the road, and expect good things to come out of it. Because I can be, you know, the first person to tell you that good things are not going to consistently come out of it, and you should not be preparing for that as your quote-unquote end game. But really, what I keep on seeing with the San Jose Sharks is just that lack of precision early. And you can call it mental acuity, you can call it readiness, you can call it whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is they're not on point when games start. They're not on point when periods start. And that has been a consistent factor over the course of, well, really just the last couple of weeks in particular, where this has come up in their game. And there have been different things for the Sharks throughout different points of the season. They've had bad third periods as of late, except for lately it is now shifted to the bad starts of games. And the third periods haven't been as bad. They've had situations where they're giving up, you know, the breakaways, and those were issues. And they've had issues giving up goals as bunches, and those have kind of faded away as of late, but they've had different issues come in. So, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And you're trying to plug holes in the dam, but every time you plug a hole, some water comes bursting through elsewhere. And that's what the Sharks feel with the weight of losing. They do not have the manpower. They do not have the ability to plug all those holes and give themselves a better opportunity to win. But looking at last night's game, I think you are encouraged by what the future holds for a Fabian Zetterlund. He has 21 goals on the year. That is a career high for him. I think that is very encouraging because I think that shows you how much potential there is for his future. If you look at his past career, his previous high was 6 a year ago with New Jersey. In 2021, he had 3 goals. And now in this year, he has 38 points over 74 games played, 21 goals, 17 assists. And I think that that's the type of number that's only going to get higher, only going to get more and more productive as he gets deeper into his career with the San Jose Sharks. I love what he brings to the ice. I love his mentality. I think that he is a glue guy. I think that you watch his game, you watch his overall effort. He was everywhere on the ice last night. I think that was my favorite thing about him, is that he was just aggressive. He went after pucks. He made the other team react. No hesitation in his game. He's playing with a greater level of confidence every single week. And that, to me, is indicative of a player that is not just accidentally scoring goals or, you know, just kind of bumbling their way into a career year. And I'm not saying that anyone does bumble their way into a career year, but it's not like he's just catching breaks and things are just going his way. It's like, no, he's working his tail off, trying to make things happen, trying to put the puck into dangerous places, trying to be a factor out there on the ice, whether it's on the forecheck. I saw him make some great plays last night there. Whether it's, again, getting a big shot off on a power play like the Sharks were able to get to make it 2-1. But he's just been playing really, really good hockey, and it's continually getting better as we get deeper and deeper into the year. So for Fabian Zetterlund, you know, I love the development that he's shown, and I am very, very excited for the growth that he will continue to show as the Sharks get deeper and deeper into this season. I think that with even 8 games left, yeah, there's still a lot for him to show, and I'm excited to see what he continues to show. And then looking to the future, yeah, you surround him with greater talent, you surround the team with greater talent, you give the opposition more things to worry about. That's only going to free up more time and space for Fabian Zetterlund, and with that time and space, I think he is going to make teams pay. Also, you look at Clean Costin last night. He is getting more ice time here than he was previously. He is getting more opportunity. He's got the first round draft status, and that's, you know, a couple years deep into his career. And now he's maybe thinking that time is, I don't know if not necessarily running out, but he probably feels that he needs to do a greater job of proving himself as an NHL player. And he is continually finding a way to get net front, to get shots on, using his size to his advantage, using his physicality, using all his attributes. And I think that he is showing a lot of what the Sharks need him to be for the future. And, you know, we'll get into this on the other side, but David Quinn talked about him taking that next step in his game, specifically his conditioning. And if David Quinn, who I think is a very good judge of these things, thinks that Clean Costin needs to be more conditioned, needs to have more to his game in terms of just his overall fitness and conditioning and readiness throughout the game, then yeah, that's something he needs to work on. But if he does that, and I think if he does have a big summer like David Quinn alluded to, then he'll be able to be that much more impactful of a player. And again, his size is something that I really, really like. Because you look at the Sharks, not a lot of big guys out there. You know, Tomáš Hertl talked about it when he got to Vegas. He said he was, used to being one of the tallest guys in the Sharks dressing room, and that's not the case now when he's over in Vegas. But, you know, you get a little more size out there with Clayton Costin. You get a little bit more size out there with Amukh Madulin, whose future is going to be in San Jose, even if he does start off next year at the AHL level. I think just having more size out there is going to allow the Sharks to have more physical pushback and just have more of a presence and more of a, you know, you get a wider orbit from bigger guys. They usually have greater reach. They have more space that they take up on the ice. You balance that with quicker, faster guys, and it'll have a positive effect as well. But I think that, you know, one of the things that they want from Costin is that with that conditioning is that he has more burst and more speed out there on the ice. And so, again, I love aspects of his game that we are seeing. He's consistently contributing since he's gotten here to San Jose. He looks like a great pickup for the future, and I hope that he does have a strong future in San Jose. You go beyond that, and it is Mackenzie Blackwood. He, again, was phenomenal last night, made tons of huge saves. He was put in a bad position early on to give up the goal 30 seconds in, or not even 30 seconds in. But, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood, time and time again this year, has shown that he is most likely a part of the Sharks' future with the performances that he has put forth. I know that Mike Greer has alluded to everybody being on the table, but to me, Mackenzie Blackwood is a goalie that is more than just having a hot streak. His vision, his reaction time, his confidence, what he is seeing makes me think that he is someone that you can build on for the future in San Jose. And that makes me very excited, not just for him, but for the franchise as a whole. He looks like a number one, and I think that when there's a better team in front of him and better defense throughout the course of 60 minutes, his numbers are going to skyrocket. Numbers do not tell the full story. Mackenzie Blackwood, healthy once again. He's been phenomenal since he's come back. He looks like the real deal. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction, highlights, and more. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Back to action inside the Kraken zone. Sharks can't keep it in. Burakovsky almost slipped by Addison. Now a lead pass. It's a breakaway for McCann. Moving in, shooting it. Great glove save by Mackenzie Blackwood. He stops him cold on the breakaway against the Kraken leading scorer, and play is called.
We are back on a Tuesday morning here on Morning Tide. Wanted to get into the highlights from last night's game. I guess you could say, though, it was a low light that the Sharks immediately started out so slowly in the first period, giving up a goal 29 seconds in.
Oliver Bjorkstrand carries to center ice for Seattle and shoots one into the San Jose zone. Eli Tolvanen was bodied up there by Burrows, but he recovers the puck on the left wing boards. Now it's sent in front. Shot, score! Bjorkstrand sets up Matty Beniers, and that was a world-class one-time shot by Matty Beniers 29 seconds into the first period to make it 1-0 Seattle.
To be blunt and obvious, that's just the kind of thing that cannot happen if you're going to win a game in the NHL consistently. Like, yes, you will give up goals early in a period, early in a game. That's fine, but this is a consistent factor for the Sharks now. Slow first periods overall, early goals in periods as well. You combine those, and it's going to be a bad night for your team. And I will not say it was the worst of nights for the San Jose Sharks, as they were, you know, in it 3-2 until they gave up the empty netter. But you give up a goal 30 seconds into a game, that's not going to bode well for your overall ability to win a game. That's not going to help. That's not going to do anything in your favor. And so the Sharks, they're not good enough to overcome that consistently. So that's something that they need to eliminate from their game. However they're going to do that, does that mean they have to do, you know, a more intense warm-up before the game, making sure they are mentally prepared? I don't know. You know, it's got to be something, though, because this is a consistent thing we are seeing now from the San Jose Sharks. Didn't take too much longer, though, until Seattle made it a 2-0 game.
Veneers, Bjorkstrand, Tolvanen. This is the top line for Coach Dave Haxtell. They push it free. Dumoulin back skates, throws cross ice onto the stick of Riker Evans. Spins away from Hoffman's check and backhands down low. Carpenter tried to get it, but Veneers got in there with speed. It's worked free. Sent to Bjorkstrand, and he scores!
Shot.
What a shot up top from the right wing circle, beating Blackwood, but they crack an unbelievable down low, winning two battles down there, and a really nice pass back out to the slot to Oliver Bjorkstrand. What a job there, 2-0 Kraken, and this one will not be called back.
Yeah, like Dan alluding to there, there could have already been a second goal on the table. That could have made it 3-0. Instead, it's 2-0. But the Sharks at that point, you can see that momentum was swinging hard away from them. It was clearly in favor of Seattle. Seattle taking advantage of the moment. It was 2-0. And then I do give the Sharks some credit here because they were able to get themselves back into it, earning a power play and giving themselves a chance. And who else but Fabian Zetterlund with his 21st of the year.
Addison to Zetterlund from the right point, takes the shot, blocked by the stick of Brandon Tanev. Taking it back, Eklund, though, moves away from traffic, throws behind the net to Granlund, near side feed, Zetterlund shoots, score! Fabian Zetterlund, a gorgeous shot, nice setup by Mikhail Granlund, and Zetterlund gets his 21st goal of the year. It's a power play goal. It gets the Sharks back in the game. Seattle 2, San Jose 1.
And that's a big moment because San Jose had a chance at that point. But this again comes back to this whole idea of the Sharks not being able to stop the bleeding. It's like you go down 1-0, make sure that's where it ends. But they didn't. Suddenly they're down 2-0. Okay, well, stop the bleeding there. And so they do a step in that direction by Fabian Zetterlund getting the goal to make it 2-1. And again, if you can stop the bleeding there, that is more of something that is not as insurmountable. But instead, before the period is done, you're giving up a third goal. You're back to that two-goal deficit despite the fight your way back into it. And again, it's just a lot to overcome.
Done with the puck. Former St. Louis Blue tosses to the right. Here's Shane Wright. Moves it to center. Gets a tip back. Could be a two-on-one. Throws it on the right. Here's Eberle moving in. Wright shoots. Score! Shane Wright makes it 3-1 Kraken. On a couple of quick plays by the two forwards, Eberle a nice return feed when everybody thought he was going to shoot the puck, and the Kraken lead by 2 again.
Lead by 2 again is the takeaway there as the Sharks, like I said, they had fought to get their way back into the game, make it 2-1. They had the overturned goal. You think that you're at home, you can maybe make something happen, but again, you give up that goal before the end of the first period, and that's just going to be a lot to overcome. But the Sharks did continue fighting, and Clem Kostant continued to strike for San Jose.
Sharks put the pressure on them. Granlund, who started this whole play, skates behind the goal line with it. Sends it back to Addison, now to Zetterlund. Behind the back, pass Vlasic. The shot, score! Mark-Edouard Vlasic gets it through the goaltender Grubauer, and that makes the score of the Sharks. Down 3-2, Seattle 3, the Sharks 2.
And like Ruzzi, in real time, I did think that that was a Vlasic goal. I didn't see the tip. Then we saw the replays and said, oh, okay, Kostin was able to get a touch of it. But you love the fact that, you know, Vlasic's able to contribute in that instance. The Sharks down 3-2. You know, it's tough, though, because the Sharks have not consistently been able to score. And, you know, they don't have Logan Couture out there this year, all but a handful of games. They no longer have Tomas Hertl. They don't have Erik Karlsson this year. They don't have Timo Meier since the end of last year or the deadline last year. Like, their big scoring threats are gone, and so they just don't have a lot to offer offensively. I mean, you just look at what they have been since the deadline. They had, you know, the 1-6-goal game against Dallas, but otherwise, it's been 2-1 and 3 goals. There was the 4 goals they scored in the overtime loss against Chicago, and there were the 4 goals that they scored in St. Louis, but otherwise it's been 1-2-3. I mean, that's not going to get it done consistently in the NHL, and I think I can explain to you exactly why. Yes, the Sharks have been able to win some tight games, 1-0, 2-1, things of that nature, but it's not a reliable plan. And you go back to the month of February, and again, you keep on seeing these low-scoring games. They lost 1-0 to Winnipeg. They lost 4-3 to Columbus, 4-0 to Vegas, 4-2 to Nashville, 7-2 to Jersey. They had 4 in a 6-4 loss to the Ducks. But yeah, it's not a lot of offense, guys. Like, there are some players who can score, but it's not across all lines, it's not deep, and it's not been there all year long, and it's not suddenly going to change. and it's part of what the Sharks are building towards. They need more production from Fabian Zetterlund. His 20, however many he ends up with this year, he's a 21. He could get to 25 maybe before the year is done if he goes on a heater. That probably needs to be 30 next year, 25 to 30 consistently. You need William Eklund to score more goals. You need Thomas Bortolo to be a consistent scorer. You need Klim Kostin, if he's back, to be consistent. You need Mario Ferraro to add more from the blue line. You need more from the blue line in general. I mean, there's just, you go down the line with this Sharks team and you think everywhere needs improving. You don't have that thought by accident. Let's get into some post-game reaction. Head coach David Quinn talking about the Shane Wright goal that made it 3-1.
Yeah, it was a bad read. I mean, it was no, it was an, end that we just made bad decisions in the neutral zone. Instead of absorbing the play, we tried to poke check and just absorb the rush. I mean, it was really a, you know, a bad read by a couple of, we were in great position, and then, you know, one in the neutral zone and we get beat. With a, we had a good angle, but played the puck, and they jumped by us, and then we step up again and play the puck, and it's a two-on-one, and we actually stop skating coming back and ends up in the back of the net. So, you know, that's frustrating.
The frustration stems from the fact that they had the opportunity to stop the play, that they had the ability to absorb it, and instead they made the wrong decisions. And I don't know if that's guys not being receptive to coaching. I don't know if that's guys just panicking in the moment and trying to poke it away like he alluded to. But it's something that has to change for the future. And you can't just look at this season and say, well, they don't have enough talent and that's going to be the, you know, the future of the Sharks. Like, no, they're going to have more talent. There are going to be changes to the roster that allow them to improve, but you need to have guys that are responding the right way in critical situations. And that to me has been something that, you know, I have seen with the Sharks this year. It's not just that there is a talent deficit. It's that the talent deficit shines most brightly when they are put in critical situations and it gets down to decision-making, reactive-type plays, and they're just not doing it. Quinn was also asked about Klim Kostin, who yet again found himself scoring for San Jose.
Well, he's a hockey player. You know, he's got poise with the puck. He's not afraid to make a play. He can make a play. He can protect it. So there's a lot to like about him. So, you know, he's a first-round talent who, you know, is making the most of his opportunity here.
And that, to me, is the big point of what Quinn is saying, is he's making the most of his opportunity here. And I think that's something that I've talked about a lot about the second half of the season or post-trade deadline, is that what are guys going to do to show David Quinn and Mike Greer that they want to be a part of the future of the San Jose Sharks? For Klim Kostin, he talked about it after the game, saying that he was getting ice time here. He said, what's the difference? He said, ice time. And so that, to me, shows that he's getting out there on the ice. He's doing what's asked of him. He needs to make improvements in his game, no doubt. But again, you see his overall ability on the ice. This isn't happening by accident. He is showing that he wants to be here with San Jose.
Love it. I mean, we need more of that all throughout our lineup. I mean, he's a guy with the size to do it, too. So, you know, I mean, it's good to see. He's got a history of being physical. I think his best hockey's ahead of him for sure. I mean, he's got 8 games here to finish strong, but I think it's going to be a big, big summer for him, because I think if he does the thing he needs to do and should do this summer, he can make a big jump next year.
And Quinn did say that that jump is his overall need in conditioning, and he alluded to the talk that he had with Tomáš Hertl at the end of last season, and Hertl came in much better shape. And I think that Kostin will probably have that message very clearly delivered to him. And I think if he comes in shape, I think that they can see that he's very capable of taking his game to the next level. Now, one of the things that was also touched on with Kostin beyond the conditioning was his physical style of play. And Quinn was asked about how that needs to bleed to the rest of the team from now to the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a physical sport. It's played in a small area. It's very fast. And you got to be engaged physically if you're going to give yourself a chance. And we weren't anything like that in the first 20 minutes. It got better in the last 40, but I don't think to the level that we need it to be. So, you know, that's something we've got to really focus on, especially against a team like LA.
Quinn was also asked about Fabian Zetterlund and his improvement that he's shown over the course of the season, not just compared to the start, but just the continuing aspects of his game that have evolved.
Well, he's played with more confidence. You know, I think he's in a better mindset. Obviously he's earned the opportunity he's gotten so far, and he's more confident with the puck. And, you know, he never touched on the defensive side of things. He's got to get better from a defensive perspective, and he's working on that. And he's a guy that wants to get better in those areas. So, you know, this is really his first full season with this type of opportunity. And, you know, I think finishing strong here is very important for him, but I think, you know, if you're going to build your career, you got to have a year like this and then take it to the next level next year. So, but he's got 8 games now to finish strong, like we talked about with him, finish strong from an offensive and defensive perspective.
And Fabian Zetterlund, I think, has done nothing but show that he is exactly that type of player who will continue to take those strides and make those improvements. So I am excited very much for what he is going to offer for San Jose coming next season. We are out of time. We'll be back with you on Thursday as the San Jose Sharks do take on the LA Kings from SAP Center. 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pregame. Right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Very much looking forward to that one. And I will be on with Tara, another Audio Network takeover on NBC. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.